This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Now, joining us to discuss it all is the Asian Game podcast, Paul Williams. Paul, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Louise, how are you? It's good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. What a topic to talk about. Australia and Qatar have been invited to the 2020 edition. That's pretty valuable, isn't it, for them?
It's hugely valuable for the Socceroos, especially when you consider that World Cup qualifying, there will be coming towards the end of the second round of World Cup qualifying. So the third round, when I guess the preeminent teams in Asia take part, I mean, that's just about to get underway then. So that gives them some really good preparation against some high quality teams. And Qatar as well, they're going to be at this year's Copa America. There's a rare situation where there's Copa Americas in back-to-back years while they sort of sort out their spacing between their tournaments. So Qatar and Japan are invited to this year's tournament, and it was Qatar and China that were initially invited to next year's tournament. China declined that invitation, and stepping into their place is Australia, and that gives them some really good, some really good match preparation against some quality teams. And you don't get a chance often, the way that the international calendar is structured these days, to play matches against a lot of the big nations, and this gives Australia and Qatar that opportunity to do just that.
Paul, it's Nick here. And just having a look at, obviously, how this relationship between the AFC and CONMEBOL works. For those that don't know, can you give us a bit of context as to how this all came about?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I can tell, there's no formal relationship that exists between the AFC and CONMEBOL. I mean, the associations generally work pretty closely together anyway. I mean, they have a pretty good relationships, and they all see each other at FIFA meetings and whatnot. As far as I can tell, I don't think there is any official relationship, MOU kind of thing between the two confederations. CONMEBOL they tend to invite two teams into their tournament. There's only 10 nations in CONMEBOL, so they invite two teams each time to put it up to 12, so they can at least have somewhat of a functional tournament going forward. So they've had, Mexico and the US in the past. Japan were invited back in 2011, had to decline because of the Tohoku earthquake that struck there. So Japan, as they got invited back this year, and it's no surprise that Qatar is invited. Qatar Airways is the major sponsor of CONMEBOL and all their confederational activities, the Libertadores and so on. So there's that relationship that exists between Qatar Airways and CONMEBOL. So I think they're just trying to, especially consider the fact they invited China as well, I think they're just trying to tap in a little bit to that Asian market that teams and confederations around the world are desperate to tap into. They're trying to do a little bit of that at the same time. So it makes sense on their behalf if they're going to invite a couple of teams that they try and expand their reach a little bit, I guess.
And Australia actually came pretty close to hosting the tournament, didn't they?
They did. They were surprised. And that was a story that kind of came from nowhere. It only came out, I think, at the time that the host was actually announced, that Australia was actually invited to bid. Before that, I'm not sure that anyone was actually aware that this was actually a possibility. I'm not sure quite how I feel about that. I mean, inviting teams to take part in a confederational tournament is already a stretch, but there's reasons why they do that. I'm not sure hosting a confederational tournament in another confederation is something I quite am comfortable with. I think that's a dangerous path for football to be heading down. You could see the Euros hosted in America or China or something like that. And I'm not sure that's really within the spirit of the game. But yeah, as you said, Australia was invited to bid. They did so. But in the end, they decided to keep it in South America, and it'll be co-hosted between Argentina and Colombia. So it'll be quite an interesting away trip for Australian fans if they choose to head there next June and July.
And Paul, do you know when we'll have an official decision or an announcement whether Australia actually will be competing next year?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, that FFA are working on that at the moment. They've got their heavy hitters over in Paris at the moment for the start of the FIFA Women's World Cup. There's the FIFA Congress, which has literally just got started in Paris as we're talking now. So as far as where David Gallup, Mark Falvo are over there and are working through the processes at the moment, going from some tweets, I think Adam Peacock tweeted it today, that the issue, I guess, is that there's a little bit of a clash with World Cup qualifying. I think potentially match days 9 and 10 of World Cup qualifying, there's an overlap there. So it would just, I guess, require a little bit of work from AFC to change some of the dates of Australia's matches. But the fact that Qatar's going to be involved as well, I dare say that, if this was just Australia, it could be a bit of a stretch to get AFC to do that. The fact that Qatar's going as well, I think it's pretty certain that those dates will be changed to allow flexibility in the calendar for Australia and Qatar to take part. So even though it's not official yet, I dare say probably within the next couple of weeks that'll be all confirmed as official.
And you touch on Australia's games. The pools have reportedly already been drawn up. Do you know which pool Australia is in?
No, I mean, the groups have already effectively been decided. I said there's two hosts, Argentina and Colombia, and there's quite some distance between those two countries. So I think they're grouping the nations kind of a little bit based on geography. I think the only thing that hasn't been decided is which group Australia go into and which group Qatar go into. There must be some kind of draw or something to determine that. So that bit hasn't been decided yet, but everything else in terms of which group is which has been. So Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay are all in the same group. Brazil might be in that one as well. So, the only thing just to be determined is which group Australia is actually going to play in, and that throws up all sorts of possibilities. I'm sure the idea of Australia taking on Leo Messi in Argentina is quite a mouth-watering one.
Yeah, it certainly is, Paul. And this year's Copa America obviously did say it does feature both Japan and Qatar. How do you see both of these teams performing this year?
It'll be interesting because the teams they've taken, I mean, Qatar's taken a strong squad, so they're looking to build on their Asian Cup success. And they're now really building towards 2022. That's their end goal, is to have a competitive team for that tournament. So they've taken a squad that is largely the same. I think there was three changes from their Asian Cup squad, so it is a very strong squad. Japan, on the other hand, has taken somewhat of an experimental squad. It's not their strongest squad. They've also got one eye on Tokyo 2020 next year, which is at the moment the number one focus for Japanese football, is to have a competitive squad. They are gunning for gold at the home Olympics. So they've got a lot of young players in that side, sent them over there to get experience at a major tournament. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. I think, you know, certainly they can be competitive against probably some of the lesser nations in South America. How they go against the bigger nations and the stronger nations, I'm not sure they'll be able to quite match it with those teams, but it'll be interesting. I mean, we saw Qatar, how well they did at the Asian Cup. Can they continue that momentum and maybe pick up some surprise results at the Copa America? That would do great wonders for their reputation around the world if they could do so.
And how did some of the Qatari stars do and fare in their domestic leagues?
Really well. I mean, the players for the Qatari team usually come from one or two clubs. It's either Al Saad or Al Dahail, and they dominated domestically this year. Al Saad won the league, absolutely romped it in. I mean, they scored 100 goals in the league. They averaged almost 3 or 4 goals a game. They were a remarkable team. Akram Afif, Abdulkarim Hassan, stars from the Asian Cup, play for them. Al Moez Ali, who we saw at the Asian Cup, was the leading scorer. He plays for Al Dahail as well. So both those teams are through to the AFC Champions League round of 16. In fact, they've been drawn to play each other in the AFC Champions League round of 16 in August. So they're domestically, they're the two strongest clubs, and as I said, they provide the bulk of the players to the national team. So domestically, the players have done really well. And the Qatar Cup, the EMEA Cup final, was actually on beIN Sports here in Australia a couple of weeks ago, and Al Dahail got the better of Al Saad on that occasion. Domestically, the players have been flying.
And Paul, tomorrow the actual World Cup Asian qualifiers do kick off. It's all the sort of the minnows of Asian football kicking off. Can you tell us a little bit about these?
Yeah, so the way it works is the 12 lowest ranked nations in Asia participate in the first round qualifying, which, as you said, gets underway with the first legs tomorrow. So the six winners of those games will advance to the second round, where the other 34 nations will join, making 40 teams, and they get then split into eight groups of five. So there's some really interesting matchups tomorrow. Malaysia is by far the strongest team in this phase of qualifying. They fell right down the FIFA rankings and slipped into this bottom 12. They take on Timor-Leste. You've got Bhutan and Guam, who are kind of like the darlings of World Cup qualifying last time. They face off against each other. So you've got some really interesting matchups there. And as you said, that first legs get underway tomorrow, second legs next week on the 11th. And I'll just give a bit of a plug to the Asian Game podcast here. We've got our latest podcast, which just came out last night. We've got a full preview of that first round of qualifying and spoke to the captain of Bhutan and the captain of Mongolia as well. So some really interesting insight into some of Asia's minnow nations there.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for joining us on Evenings on FNR, and we'll speak to you again in the coming weeks.
Always a pleasure. Look forward to it.